New Testament of your pew Bible. It is from Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Complete Jesus' work. How could any of us complete Jesus' work? Well, in John chapter 6, he says that I come not to do my will, but I come to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that none given to me by the Father will be lost. I will raise them up on that last day. Jesus will succeed. But you and I have a role to play in this. You and I have a part to play in it. If it were not so, then he would have accomplished when he said, "It is finished," on that cross. Why else would he have said, "Go ye into the world and preach my gospel"? Why would it be that he would say, "Love one another as I have loved you"? Why would he have said all of those things if everything was complete on Golgotha 2,000 years ago? There's work yet to be done. That's why we have gifts and talents. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 12, we have gifts and talents. Galatians 5:22, what do we have? Fruits of the Spirit. These are the blessings that Christ, God, the Holy Spirit has given to us. This short verse, it's 31 through 35 in chapter 13. It's very, very brief. It's very quick. It's even titled in most Bibles, "The Lamentation" or "Lament" about Jerusalem. But you know, it's not about Jerusalem, the city. It is really about the people of God. They happen to reside in Jerusalem at that time, but it's you and I across the ages. But of note, if you go home and you look in your Bibles and you read what happens before this lament, you see what it is that Jesus has been doing. Jesus has been performing miracles. He's been healing people. He gives us a parable of a barren fig tree. He heals a crippled woman on the Sabbath. The woman had been crippled for 18 years by a spirit, and he heals her in the synagogue on the Sabbath. And the Sadducees say, "Oh, goodness, there are six other days that you could heal her. The seventh is to be holy. There's to be no work." And Jesus says, "What of you? Which of you on the Sabbath would not unhitch your oxen and take them to water? Why not heal this woman who's been lame from this spirit?" And they couldn't say anything to him. Jesus is working those things, not saying that that was all that Christ was there for, because that's the story behind it. is that it wasn't just to do those good works. It wasn't just to perform those miracles. Those miracles were evidence of what Christ was able to do because of who he was and who he is. He's the Son of God. Luke chapter 13, 31 starts, "At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, 'Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you.'" Well, we've talked about those Pharisees time and time again, and isn't that a wow? Where's that come from? Because usually it's the Pharisees who are after Jesus. They're either questioning him or quizzing him. And here they "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Well, they had no love for Herod. But maybe these Sadducees are finally starting to get the message. He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I'm casting out demons and performing cures today, and tomorrow and the third day I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" There's a lot of talk about Jerusalem in this. But if we look at his saying and we take it literally, today and tomorrow, and on the third day, today and tomorrow I'm doing these things. This is not to say, Jesus is not saying in this, that there's just today and tomorrow. This is not just before Jesus goes into Jerusalem for Passion or Palm Sunday at Holy Week. He's saying figuratively today, in other words, today and tomorrow and the third day, he's saying a period of time, an indeterminate period of time, a short period of time. There's not a lot of time yet to do those things that he needs to do. Well, what is it that Jesus is going to do? What is it that Jesus must do? Teach his disciples, train them up, continue to work miracles. What was the anthem today? What's the last word in the anthem? It speaks to Christ's going to Calvary, Golgotha, that cross. That is what Jesus was put on this earth to do. You and I are not able to live out the law of Moses by ourselves. We'll fall short. And because we fall short, we're all damned. Were it not for Christ going to Calvary. Yes, the miracles are great. Yes, the outflowing of the Holy Spirit is great. But his death on Calvary as a payment for your sin, my sin, is why Christ came. The scripture says where he says, "On the third day I finish my work." Again, on the third day he finishes his work. And what happens on the third day? Not just the cross. What's also in that? On that third day, when that empty tomb, when Mary gets there and Peter and John go and they see this empty tomb. And later in that upper room, when they see Jesus himself, Jesus' mission in this life is to make evident to you and to me that he has paid the price for your salvation. What we are to do is to assist him by telling others, by showing others, by being open to and available to the Holy Spirit to work in us in the lives of people out there in the world. Whether it's a food bank, a prayer ministry, whether it's Doctors Without Borders, any of those good works, visiting somebody in a hospital, sitting with them after they've come out of a surgery or just before they go to a surgery, being there while they rehabilitate, fixing them a meal, taking them a meal, taking them to the doctor, taking them to the therapist, picking them up, doing any of those things. That is us helping Jesus. That is us being part of that process. It's not done yet. When's it going to be done? When is it going to be finished? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the trumpet sounds and the clouds part, Jesus descends, the graves give up their dead, and those of us in Christ that are living rise together to meet Him in heaven. And that's when there's going to be the new Jerusalem. That's when there's going to be the new human. That's when there's going to be the new us. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way. Jesus is still on that journey. Jesus is still doing those things that must be done. Who are you going to see over the course of the next week? What are you going to say to those that you see? Who is it that you could see that you haven't seen in a while and you really feel that you should, but you haven't? Think about that. We talked about Lent. We talked about Lenten disciplines, spiritual disciplines. We've talked about becoming a prayer covenant church. There are spiritual disciplines that are associated with that. When was the last time you spent 30 minutes in prayer? Rhetorical question, not a show of hands. When was the last time you spent more than 20 minutes thinking about somebody other than yourself? Or your family? When was the last time you spent 10 minutes praying for a child you've seen walking down the street? You don't know their name. You don't know their troubles or their trials. When was the last time you spent 10 minutes just thinking about and praying about that person? 40 days of Lent. 40 days of Lent. 24 hours in each of those days. 60 minutes in each of those hours. How many people have you seen? How many children have you seen? How many adults have you seen? Fasting. We're collecting food that we might give to families, and we have served 50 some odd families at different times, twice a year. Every first Saturday, La Crier Center, Hands Across Middlesex, the mobile food pantry is here. Last week, 42 families. Those are good things. That's what we should be doing. That's us helping Christ complete His task. How much longer must we do it? How many more people do we need to preach to? How many more people do we have to teach? How many more people do we have to pray for? I don't know the answer to that. But over these 40 days, set aside an hour. Set aside a minute. Be in prayer. Think about. Do those things. Those are things you can do. Jesus said, "How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you are not willing." Are you willing? Are you willing? Peter said he was. And that Jesus said, "Before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice." That's not to say you don't keep trying. That's to say that there's the frailty of the humanity. We don't always accomplish what we set out to do, but we ought to at least set out to do it. So lay aside an hour of each day. Lay aside 10 minutes. Lay aside 1 minute for different things. Be in conversation with God for an hour. See if it doesn't change your outlook on life. B, be in prayer for somebody that you have no idea who they are or what's going on in their life for a minute. If it doesn't change that person, maybe it'll change you. Think about someone in your community other than your family for 10 minutes. What is it that they need? What is it that they could use? And after you're finished with those 10 minutes, pick up a phone. You don't have to text them. Talk to them. Pick up a pen and paper. Write them a letter. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That note, that call, that letter, that thought, that prayer. Each and every one of us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can do these things in the name of the Lord. And then together, when he does come back, we'll all be able to say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And it will be us who will be blessed because of Christ. Because he loves us, not just because of Calvary, because of that empty tomb and his triumph over death itself. And you and I together can complete the work of Christ. Isn't it simple if you just think an hour, 10 minutes, 1 minute? It can be done. Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is "You Are Mine." It's in the Faith We Sing, number 2218, and it's a little bit of a challenge, but I know we can do it. I love the song. The music is great. The words are great. And I have to get to the right page. I'll get there. Eventually.